Money Show.
Personal finance with Warren Ingram.
Nassim Taleb, who taught us all about risk and black swan events during the global financial crisis, has got a great quote. He says, invest in preparedness, not in prediction. And it's applicable over so many spheres. Tonight, it's in our personal finance feature, because you do need to plan for the things you cannot see and cannot imagine. Worst case scenario stuff. It is the stuff that, depending on how it's presented to you, can feel like you are being sold an insurance product to earn a commission for somebody selling insurance products. If it is properly understood and properly positioned and properly included in a broader financial plan, you need to be paying attention, very, very close attention indeed, because there's nothing worse than seeing somebody or a family falling on hard times because suddenly the main breadwinner in the family lost their ability to earn. It's very rare. It does happen, however. Somebody bumps their head. Somebody gets sick. Somebody gets a dread disease. Somebody's incapable of earning money. And no plan's been put in place. It's terrifying. Warren Ingram, founder of Galileo Capital, executive director at the business. Of course, he's a certified financial planner. And this is the insurance, the really, 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 really expensive insurance that you hope never to claim on. And you look back after 10 years of paying premiums on these things, you say, geez, that's a waste of money. Never got a single benefit from it other than perhaps a restful night's sleep, Warren.
That's a fabulous intro, Bruce. And I love how carefully you chose your words there, because I know you are like me, and this will be the ultimate grudge purchase in life. Yep. The thing we never really want to spend money on. But I think just maybe a quick kind of intro. And the one thing I want to say is, it's the job of I feel it's my mission in life on this show to tell people to accumulate capital as fast as you possibly can to get to financial freedom in the best way you possibly can. And that means that there will be a day when you will not need any form of life cover or disability insurance. You probably will always need medical. That's a good thing to have. But if you start with that, then let's work backwards from financial freedom to wherever you are in life now. And for most of us, we're not at financial freedom. And so the reason we talk about this stuff, and I'm careful to use my words, this is stuff we need, but we don't like it. And we think of lots of naughty words when we have to pay our premiums. But what you're doing, especially with, let's maybe start disability insurance. You're protecting your ability to generate an income so that you can save and invest and get to financial freedom, so that you don't have to pay any more insurance companies. That's the goal. But when you don't have the money and you don't have that capital, what you need is the insurance against the ability to earn an income, or ensuring that you get to the point where you don't ever need to worry about anything again. And a lot of the time, I don't know how, I don't know why, but a lot of the time when you don't have this stuff sorted out, that's when life happens. That's when things go wrong. And I hope that people are listening to the show, and in 15 years time, they go, you know, I had that disability insurance because I listened to those two guys talk about this stuff on the radio and I never claimed. I hope that's a fantastic result. You know, as long as they were saving and investing along the way, but have this, buy this stuff.
Let's pause for a second. If I go back, and I'm not going to disclose numbers because it's an astonishing amount of money when I do the calculations for what I've paid to protect against the worst downsides. Medical aid over 21 years of this show. That comes and the cost of it grows as children are born. And yes, the medical aid was very good to fund the birth of the children. So there was some sort of, I don't know, it's not a return, is it? But there was some sort of compensation for the outlay. But still, the insurance company is considerably better off thank goodness, than I am, because we haven't had to have the big horrible claims. And then there is the dread disease cover stuff, which is possibly rand for rand among the more expensive insurance products in the world, because there are multiple things that can get you and prevent you from being able to do your job. And I look back at the astonishing amounts of money that, had I simply put it into exchange-traded funds over time, I would be considerably closer to financial independence today than if I had not bought the had I not bought the insurance products rather than buying them.
Is that a question?
That is a statement seeking a response. and a cry for help, I think, because I just, you know, and I know why I bought it, and I'm very glad that I've got it, and it does help me sleep a little bit better at night. You do look at the vast amounts of money that you've expended on the stuff, and you go, nothing went wrong. I wish I'd invested it. And it's, I think, fundamentally the wrong attitude to have, right? There's a question.
Okay, thank you. So I think you might be proving my case.
You become quite bullshit in your old age, yes.
I've been paying these premiums for so long, I'm getting old. I think you might be proving my case, Bruce, that it's the fact that you had it might have been the reason that nothing happened. You kind of have to sketch the alternate scenario, you know, the parallel universe where you woke up one morning and your voice didn't work anymore. You know, you had some lump in your throat and that destroyed your voice box. Something we none of us ever wish for, but something that...
There are some who would wish that. But yeah, that is the point. And it's planning for the unpredictable, the uncertain, and the worst case scenario. And that comes in the form of disability cover, of medical aid, of life insurance, of short-term insurance. All of these things which take money long before we even begin to think about investing and saving for the future, we're paying out a large proportion of what we earn to protect against possible downside. And a lot of people struggle with that process. So how should we be thinking about it in a more productive sense, Warren?
I think to start to say that you're going to buy a lot of disability and life assurance at the start of your career. And it will consume a big chunk of your disposable income. And just understand that is your reality. That's what's going to happen. But every single year, as you get increases, so you build up your savings. And as you accumulate savings, you need to be on a strategy of reviewing that disability and life assurance and saying, okay, I can actually cut the amount that I'm insuring for. So if you started at the beginning of your career with a life assurance amount of, you know, 20 million rand, you know, 5 years in, maybe it's 18 million. And the reason that it's dropping, while everything in life gets more expensive, the one thing that should be getting cheaper is your life and disability insurance, because you're accumulating capital so that you get to the stage when you are in your 40s and 50s where it's become a small capital amount because you've built up your own assets. And I think and if you get that dynamic right, it means that almost every year you're in the position of adding more to savings, paying less to insurance, and getting to the point where you cut that stuff eventually. Even short-term insurance, I think we should all insure our cars and the like for accidents and unforeseen. You know, the classic case is, you know, you might be driving the 150,000 rand car, but you might cause an accident and drive in, you know, the 3 million rand, you know, a German luxury car. And the point is you want to be insured.
Bash somebody's Bentley and the insurance company is going to come after you because they have no, if they can prove it's your fault, they have no desire to pay a claim that they want to make sure that they can get compensation from you for that.
So your game there is to get to the point where you're insuring less of your stuff because you can afford to replace it, but you're always insuring yourself against the big accidents that can wipe out your financial position. So for example, one of the clever things to do with your short-term insurance is, as you build up your emergency fund and as you build up your investment assets, to tell the insurance company that you would like to pay a very big excess when you have a claim. And just quickly, the jargon there is, you know, an excess is something that you have to pay. Let's say you do have a big car accident. You tell the insurance company, I'll pay the first 50,000 rand of the claim. Anything less than 50,000 rand, you're just going to pay yourself. You're not going to claim from the insurance company. What that tells the insurance company is that this person is going to cover some of that risk alongside them, which means your premiums will be less. And so you can do things like that once you've built up capital. So I think you should be in a position where you're grudgingly paying a lot of these costs early in your career, but later on you're paying less and less and less. And I think that to me would be the strategy. The only one that I would consider differently would be medical aid. I'm no one's medical aid expert, but I rode my luck a little bit with, you know, just having a hospital plan when I was young. And as I got older, I went, you know, up the scale of medical aids to get the more and more expensive ones as I got older. And so now, knocking on age 50, I've got a high medical aid, you know, one that covers as much as I can think of, because the likelihood is something's going to happen to me. I hope it doesn't, but that's the insurance risk I'm prepared to pay for. I'm getting to the point of, you know, can the disability and can the life cover? And I think that's the kind of balance we want to strike when we're looking at this, Bruce.
Really important points, Warren Ingram, and plenty of food for thought as always. Warren Ingram is a certified financial planner. He is executive director at Galileo Capital. This question is coming through. It's a very common question. It's a perfectly understandable question. I'm starting to feel very nervous about our country's future as we approach the 29th of May, which, if you've been under a rock, is election day. ANC keeps talking about prescribed assets again in its campaigns. I can't help but wonder if I should stop my pension and RA contributions. I'm contemplating withdrawing all of my local investments, investing all my money offshore before the 29th of May. Is this the right thing to do? I think a lot of people feel that. Now, what the difference between feelings and what you should be doing are two fundamentally different things. Warren, that is a question. We'll analyze it in just a moment.
The Money Show.
Personal finance with Warren Ingram.
Warren Ingram talking about the topic we don't want to talk about, and that is insurance and insurance products and insurance premiums and the grudge of it all, but the importance. And if you've ever spoken to somebody who has been left bereft by a breadwinner and has found themselves at the wrong end of their economic fortunes, and they've lost homes and have had assets repossessed, and have had to try and explain to kids as to why they've been taken out of school and why they're moving, you know, going back to granny and grandpa, whatever the case might be. It'll rock your world. It really will. Another thing that's rocking lots of people's world is political uncertainty. Call it what you like. It is the uncertainty that comes with outlandish political statements that accompany each and every single one of our increasingly divisive and difficult to read election campaigns. There are some outrageously stupid election campaigns abounding at the moment. It is the stuff that, if you are cool, calm and collected, you're able to dismiss without too much bother. However, the continued political rhetoric, the sense of, and our own biases get brought into this a lot. We know that the ANC has been, at least for the first 15 years of its term in power, up until 2008, 2009, a very good custodian of the economy in South Africa, grew and improved considerably under the ANC. And then, of course, for reasons we all know, for the rotten and vulgar administration that Jacob Zuma was head of from 2008 until his political demise in 2017, a huge amount of destruction, economic destruction, was wrought on South Africa. So there is precedent that if you get the wrong president, things can go horribly awry quite quickly. And so there is a trust deficit in the in South Africa's political landscape. And I think a lot of people are feeling this right now, Warren. What sort of feeling are you getting in your regular consultations with your clients? Is there widespread worry and concern?
Yeah, I think it's a deep concern, and I think you're right. You know, if this was the first election where people were concerned, it would be an easier thing to dismiss in their minds than potentially now the third election where they've got real evidence that, you know, bad politicians have been phenomenally destructive to the economy and caused really big unemployment issues that are not going away. And so it's not it's not a case of being dismissive of Vince's question or his thoughts and emotions that are attached to this. I think it is an absolutely real thing to worry about. My comments are, we tend to feel that we're stuck on our own little ship and these are our own bad politicians, you know, steering us into the rocks repeatedly. And just for context, if you can kind of cast your minds back to how many big, mega stars that live in America said that they would leave America and move to another place if Donald Trump came into power. And that's how strongly they felt about a bad president coming into their country. And remarkable how I can't think of one that actually changed domicile, that actually left the country. And America survived Trump, some kind of rockiness along the way. And if he comes into power again, America will survive Trump version two. And I feel the same about South Africa. It's understanding that lessons are being learned along the way, and both by us as citizens, by business, and civil society, and hopefully some of the politicians learning that they can't be as vulgar in their destruction of our state apparatus as they have been. But the answer always to a question like this is you cannot play Russian roulette with your money. You cannot be in a position where you say, I believe an election is going to go badly, and I believe that it's going to cause the entire country and everything to go south, immediately after that election. The reason you can't do that is you don't have perfect foresight. And perfect foresight in this kind of a situation is that you know exactly how the election is going to unfold. You know potentially what those coalitions are going to be. Most importantly, you know how other people are going to perceive it and therefore move the prices of currencies or markets, etc. And the reality is you can't forecast any of those things. So most particularly the last one, you just don't know how people are going to perceive the outcome of the elections. So I think it's important to be in a position where you practice proper diversification. I'm in no way saying that you keep all of your assets in South Africa and ignore the election and everything will be fine. What I'm saying is you don't know what these big events are going to do. And so making sure that you've got a mix of assets in South Africa and globally makes a lot of sense to me. Cashing out your retirement funds, whether they're pension funds or RAs, before an election, and hoping that you can send the balance of the money out and get it out in time, I feel is a bad action. Number one, you're going to pay away so much of that money in tax. Number two, there is a chance that the markets in South Africa perform well after the election and the rand gets stronger. And it might have absolutely nothing to do with our elections and everything to do with global conditions. All of those are very possible events. The trick here is you've got to calm yourself down, spread your assets across local and global markets, and make sure that you're not so exposed to one thing that when the opposite of that happens, that you get wiped out. That's Russian roulette risk with your investments, and it's just not a smart thing to do. And that's not smart here. It's not smart overseas. And it rarely works. If you do it and you cash in your retirement funds, you pay the huge amount of tax, you get all the money out, there is a chance that you could be lucky. But hope has never been, or luck has never been, a fantastic investment strategy. So ride this out, Vince. Watch what's going on. Keep accumulating money and spreading it out across the globe with a portion of your assets. and don't panic now. We just don't know how these things are going to unfold. And you know, frankly, you know, a long-term strategy has worked far better in most situations than a short-term panic-driven strategy.
Warren Ingram, Certified Financial Planner, Director at Galileo Capital.